Just a note, next Sunday, if you are not going to be with us, please get with me. I have, next Sunday, I'll be handing out this survey, and it is to help us, you know, let the Holy Spirit use you in that. I'm going to give it to you next Sunday and let you take it home, so we won't really get it until the next week, get it back. I've tried Survey Monkey, but it only gives me 10 questions, and there's a lot more here than 10 questions. So if you'll get that next Sunday, and if you're not here next Sunday, please try to get it from me, and then we will have everybody participating. I want everybody to share your thoughts and your heart as God leads you. I'd like to think about this morning, first of all. By the way, I'm preaching with my dad's Bible this morning. And this says November 19th, 1948. He was ordained in 1948. And so I picked it up and I said, I'll use my dad's Bible today. Anyway, I think it's apropos because we're going through all their stuff right now. Did you know that man is infatuated with hidden and secret treasures? Listen to how many movies have dealt with secret hidden treasures. And you probably can name a few. The Goonies, National Treasure, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Romancing the Stone, The Mummy, The Jewel of the Nile, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, The Treasure of Sierra Madre, Pirates of the Caribbean, Sahara, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Tomb Raiders, The Da Vinci Code, The Librarian, 1010, The Deep, Treasure Planet, Firewalker, Congo, The Lone Ranger, King Solomon's Mines, and Treasure Island. And if you can think of any more, you just can add right on to it. Because there are so many stories that we have been given that show that we have an infatuation with hidden and secret treasure. In our scripture this morning, we find a clear path to great hidden treasure. If you would turn with me to James in the New Testament, chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Do not, that's pretty emphatic, isn't it? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's pretty emphatic. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The Hebrew word here for blessing is barak or berak. And it has that on the end. I love those. And you clear your throat, I guess. Genesis chapter 1, verse 22 is the first occurrence when God blessed the sea creatures and birds, telling them to be fruitful and to multiply in the earth. And then in verse 28, God gave the similar blessing to Adam and Eve, adding that they were to exercise dominion over all creation. When God called Abram to the promised land in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, he promised that they were to be blessed and he would make his name great and through him to bless all the families on the earth. The blessings here are plainly associated with happiness, welfare, both for Abraham and his descendants. Genesis chapter 22, verse 16 and 18. God again blesses Abram and adds that this blessing is due to the obedience to God's command. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates both day and night. That's found in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And it says, he will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. The book of Psalms is so full of references to this kind of happy blessing for those who love, fear God, and honor him with their lives. For many, they think, even Christians think, blessings are only stuff. Blessings are not just stuff, and stuff is the least of the blessings. Of course, when you're struggling financially and you need some stuff, I can understand how you might think that. But actually, the blessings here we're talking about is to have God bless you with his favor, and that the favor of God rests upon you. Everywhere you go, God's favor rests on you. Your life has the touch of God on it, basically. Your family has the touch of God on it. Your career has the touch of God on it. Your finances has the touch of God on it. Your health has the touch of God on it. Your struggles, mistakes, and failures have the touch of God on it. Your talents have the touch of God on it. Your children have the touch of God on them. Your relationships have the touch of God on them. And whatever you do prospers. Why? Because wherever God is, there is God's favor and his prosperity. You see, God is good. God is perfect. And everything around God becomes perfect. Everything. If you're in the middle of a desert and you have God's presence, it becomes a fruitful place. I remember hearing a story of a young man who was planting a crop in the middle of the desert, and everybody laughed at him, made fun of him, said, "You can't have a crop in the desert." And he had a beautiful crop, and it abounded, and they asked him, "How did you do that?" And he said, "Because I walk with God, and wherever God is, he makes a way." In John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word of God became flesh, and in him was perfect life." So when Jesus came, was perfect life. Whenever you commit yourself to Jesus, you have perfect life. Whenever you walk with Jesus, you have perfect life. Is your life perfect? No. What I mean is you have the perfect life of God within you. And God blesses all that you do. He anoints all that you do. He gives his favor to all that you do. To walk with God through his word is the pure essence of a Christian walk. Now, how does God speak to us? If we are to walk with God, how does God speak with us? Through his word. So, if I am not in the Word, how does God speak to me? Oh, he can. God can do anything. Sometimes he speaks through inanimate objects. Sometimes he speaks through animate objects. Sometimes he speaks through people. But God's greatest speaking is through his Word. This is how he communicates with us. If you're not in his word, you're not having God's communication. How do you have God's communication without being in the word? The word became flesh, though, in Jesus Christ. Yes, I understand that. And Jesus is a part of our life. If we've accepted Jesus, the word is a part of our life. But he continues to speak through us through the word of God. Okay? This is not an option for a Christian walk. This is not an option for godly living. This is not an option to be close to God. It's not an option. And I can tell the days, and I have days like you, where I do not study the Word of God because I get out of the habit, I get all caught up in all the things I'm doing, and I don't. And I can tell the difference because those days I feel like I'm wandering around a little bit. You ever felt that way? Like, I mean, you're going through the motions, but you're not really getting anywhere. Even in school, when you're taking your test, it's like, what am I doing? In the Word of God is found the truth of God, and the truth of God gives us direction. And I mean personal, individual, anointed direction for today in this particular situation. I know there are Christians who think, well, he just gives us thoughts and guidance generally as a person. No, no, no. God gives us specifics. What to do today in this situation. And he usually, 9 times out of 10, is giving it through his word. But you must be with him in the word. You must walk with him in the word. And what I'm saying is this. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit has not yet come to your life. When the Holy Spirit comes to your life, then the Holy Spirit opens up all truth to us because we're not capable of understanding this stuff. It's impossible. That's where you begin. But then as you walk with God and you're close to God, he uses his word to direct us. But just as much as I can walk with God, I can walk away from God. You say, how do Christians do that? I can walk away from God. Do you know that? Because I begin to walk in my wisdom or in my friend's wisdom or in the world's wisdom. And I begin to listen to them more than I listen to God. And I begin to do this, and God is still with me, but not really with me. To be in his presence is what it's all about. You see, the anointed blessings I'm talking about is being with God. For if I am with God, then all the anointing is on everything that I have. My children, listen, men, good night. I hear you all the time. Let me prepare for my children. Let me get the college education and save for this. And let me get, and I'm going to prepare for my family this way. And we need to do this and that. And I'm sitting there going, come on. The greatest preparation for your children's future is when you are walking with the Lord. For when you are in the presence of the Lord, your children are anointed with the favor of God. And I can tell you, I am not worthy at any point in my life to receive the blessings I have in my family and my home and in what God has done in my life. But I know it came from my family, who so walked with the Lord that they showed me what walking with the Lord was. And they so walked with the Lord that his presence cast shadows on me. You want your children protected? Walk with the Lord. You want your children to grow up and become strong and vibrant and healthy? Walk with the Lord. You want your marriage to last? Walk with the Lord. You want your future to be blessed? Walk with the Lord. That's the blessing. That's the whole key. And I want you to understand, and let me give you an example. In 1984, I think, going back, I sort of struggle with dates, I went with Dr. Wayne Dahoney, and by the way, in my office, some of you have seen this picture, I've got two actually, and these are pictures that were given actually to me and Dad. We went on a trip to the Holy Land, and Wayne Dahoney, which is the leader of that, he's now long since gone to be with the Lord. But he was leading. I was a young man at the time. In the Bible Land Travels. And he took us to the Holy Land. It was called Holy Land or Bible Land Travels. It was a Holy Land trip. And we went there to Jerusalem and Judea. And we walked the places Jesus walked. We We had on the Sea of Galilee, we had a worship service on a boat in the Sea of Galilee. And to be able to sit in the Sea of Galilee and to hear how Jesus walked on the water, it's like, whoa, this is deep stuff. This is good. To be able to walk on the Via Dolorosa, which was the pathway of Jesus going to the cross, is tremendously moving. Some of the stones, they believe, that where you actually can go down in the bottom, of there's a church built over part of it, you go down to the bottom and there are stones, and that's actually the stone path Jesus walked on. I can walk on the path that Jesus walked on. I can stand on the stones. If you ever get a chance, go to the Holy Land. It will renew your faith like you've never seen anything before. But as I was there, we were getting ready to leave. And suddenly, as we got to the airport, El Al, the airlines that we were riding, went on strike. We're standing in an airport stuck in Israel with nowhere to go because we've already checked out of hotels. We're in an airport. They're estimating it will be a week before it will be resolved. Well, I just can't see me sitting in an airport for a week. This is just not one of my favorite things to do. And how are they going to feed us and what are we going to do? When Dr. Dahoney walked in and our group saw him, he went over to the counter, he talked to someone, he got on the phone and he called. And in a few minutes he said, all of those with Bibleland Travels come over here. And our group got up out of the crowds that were there and walked up. And he said, stay with me. We walked down a corridor and down to another building. And he said, stay here a little while. And for a little while, we were there. Within a half an hour, he said, all right, we're going in another plane and we're going to Egypt. So we got in a plane, an American airline plane, and it was a prop plane. But that's okay, it got us there. And we flew to Egypt. We were there for 3 days. Which he paid for out of Bibleland Travels, so we got 3 extra days in Egypt. God's grace. We got to go to the pyramids, we got to go to museums, and then we flew out of Egypt and went home when they had our airline worked out, and they worked it out with another overseas American airline. We were only 2 days actually late getting home. I never forget him saying, stay with me. That's the way God is. Stay with me, and it's going to be okay. Some of you are going through some trials. God is saying, stay with me. Some of you are praying, God bless this, or bless my business, or bless my home, or bless my finances. And God is saying, stay with me. Study my word. And then do what I say, and you will be blessed. Being with God, walking with God, opens up tremendous doors of opportunity and benefit. We study the Word of God and study the life of Jesus, and if we put into practice what He shows us, He is with us. And then the blessings flow, whatever we do prospers. I know I've had people who said, wait a minute, I don't believe in that theology. I don't believe that everything you do will be blessed if you're with God. Then I don't think you understand the anointing of God. Now, I'm not saying that you won't go through struggles. I'm not saying that you won't go through trials. I am not saying that you won't go through things that bring you to your knees. I'm not saying you will not have sorrow. What I am saying is, in the midst of it all, there is the blessings of God. Even in the sorrow, there's the blessings of God. Even in the struggle, there's the blessings of God. There is the anointing of God in all of it. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Ladies, When you wake up in the morning, you look like this. Some of you, we know, guys who are married know. But this is why a mirror has been strategically placed in our bathrooms. In my bathroom, it's all the way to the width of the wall. Just about. I think there's a purpose. You walk in and you look at this and you say, damage control. And you begin trying to put back together what a night's sleep has done. Now, men, women are just wonderful, and they are, you know, it's amazing how pretty they can get after a little while's work. My wife told me this morning, she said, that she went to go get makeup and they had to order makeup. Now, I don't know about you ladies, but when they have to order makeup, why do they have to order makeup? Is there some special style that is the only one you can do? I don't know. I shouldn't question that. But guys, lest you think you're out of the loop here, this is what guys look like in the morning. Okay, the only thing minus there is you can't quite see his eyes, but they're red. Okay. I want you to understand, I wanted you to get a visual on this. You see, when we come to the Word of the Living God, and we step into the Word of God, and we step into His presence, and He shows us something, it is beautiful and wonderful, but it is also rectifying. It is meant to straighten out something or redirect us a little bit or get us back on a path or help us out in that path, okay? Imagine if you went to the mirror and you saw this, guys, and you did nothing about it. You forgot what you looked at and you went on to work or you went to school. Now, I teach middle school, and I have boys who either never went by the mirror in the morning, or when they looked, they forgot what they saw, but they made us look at it the rest of the day, and that is a sin. I mean, it's bad. I mean, their hair is all like this, and they're red-eyed, because I think they walked out of the house right out of the bed. I'm saying that to say, if you read the Word of God as God reveals it to you, and you walk away from it not doing what it says to do, not enacting what God has called you to enact, you're as foolish as the young man or the woman who looks in the mirror and doesn't do anything about it. And the whole world has to sit there and look at it all day long. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But for those who look in the mirror and see God's grace and put into practice what God has told you to do, then you walk in His presence. And I say that for this reason. Some people say, wait a minute. I can't stand a God, and we dealt with that this week, but I can't stand a God who, if you know, He comes along and He's going to zap you or He's going to do. God doesn't need to zap anybody. When you walk out of His presence, you're on your own. And when you're on your own, this stuff happens. Now, God's not going to let the worst happen if you're a child of His, but there's still stuff going to happen. And God's going to reach down and grab you and try to pull you out. And if you listen to Him, He can take you out of some terrible situations. He can deliver you. But hear me, if you're not walking with Him, you're in your own judgment. Don't talk about what God did to me. You're in your own judgment. You walk away from God, you're judged by your own actions, not by God. And in that place is a very dangerous place. God is saying here, if you look into the things of God because you just want to please God, or your offering of the study of the Word, or but you just don't know, and you just study God's Word because you're trying to read the Bible through in a year, or you know, you're doing some kind of obligation that you have, then you are foolish, for God walks with those who do not do what He tells them to do. This past week, I had two incidences I want to tell you about, and both of them were with Uber. Uber gives me the joy of experiencing things I would not experience anywhere else in the entire world. The first one was I picked up a young lady near South Point, and she said, I'm from San Diego, and I come here often. I do work here, and when I'm here, I want barbecue. So if you will take me to she wanted to go to the Pit downtown. We went to the Pit downtown. Well, it was a 20-minute drive, almost 25. So we're on our way to downtown Durham to go to the Pit. On the way, we began to talk, and we were sharing chit-chat. And then she realized I was a minister, and also I teach Bible at a Christian academy. And so she said, let me ask you this. And she started asking. And finally, she started sharing. She said, I grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. I grew up in a home where the Bible was not read. I grew up in a home that didn't totally disavow God, but certainly was not a part of God in the walk. And she said, and then I got to my current job, and there was a lady there, and she began to talk to me, and she began to mentor me to God. And as she mentored me to God, I accepted Jesus Christ, and my life has been different. But over a period of time, she was mentoring me. We sort of got busy, both of us, and that mentoring fell on the side. And I walked away from God a good bit. I was not as close to God as I was. And then my grandmother died. I was extremely close to my grandmother. She passed away, and it was such a terrible struggle for me. On the day after my grandmother died, my husband and I got in the car, and we were going to drive to her home, and we were 2 hours away from home on a road we really didn't know, and my husband said, we're going to stop in here and go to the service station and get something. I've got to get some gas. And she said, well, I'm going to go in and get something, some food or something. And she said, normally he likes to go with me because in areas we don't know, we're not sure about, he likes to go with me. But he let me go by myself. And I walked in there. As soon as I walked in, there was my mentor, who was an hour and a half away from her home on a side road they never take, at the exact moment that she was there, pulling into that exact service station. What are the odds of that? And she walked up to her and hugged her, and she said, this is the greatest day. I had asked God for help, and He sent me my mentor. And she cried, and the two of them cried. She said, I want you to know, that just happened recently. She says, I am so close to God right now. And I want you to understand that when this lady that was her mentor walks close to God, she told me, she said, this lady walks so close to God. She just walks with God. Well, this lady walked so close to God, God had her at the right place at the right time. Let me tell you something. If you are honoring God, if you are following God, if you're walking with God, God puts you at the right place at the right time at the right moment to do the things He wants you to do, to be a blessing. Now, this lady is a blessing to a lot of different people, more than just this lady from San Diego. But I want you to understand that was a lifting point in my life. I was very excited about what God was doing. And then that same day in the evening, I had just had that and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I was just, still had tears in my eyes. She had shared with me, and I was just really excited. And I go to pick up a young lady. It's almost dark, 5:45-ish. And I went to pick her up. And when I went to pick her up, she said, my car's broke down. I need to go to the service station down here and get gas. So she went inside, and she not only got a gas can, but she filled it up with gas. I said, do you want me to wait for you and make sure that you go back with me? And she said, yeah. I said, well, you can just flip the address in just a few minutes. So I stayed there, and she got the gas, got in the car, and I got her, and we went back to, it was right near Target, near South Point. We went back to Target, and she got out, and she said, "I'll be fine, thank you." And I said, "Really?" I said, I can wait here. And about that time, I got a beep, beep, beep for another ride. And it was at South Point, at just right down the street. I said, okay. If you're going to be okay, you're in the light here in the Target, and you get the gas, you'll be fine. I said, "What are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to drive back to the service station and fill it up." I said, "Okay, cool." So then I stood there and drove off and to pick up this other lady, and I got to South Point, and I've had this feeling, no. And I picked up the young girl, and she got in the car, and I said, I got to tell you something. She said, "What?" "I just had a young lady. She was broke down. I went and got her gas, and she came back, and she had the gas there, but I left her in the Target parking. Can we go back that way on the way to your house?" She was going home from work. "Can we go? Yes. I said, "I just need to check on her." "Yes, that'll be fine." So we go by there, and I drive up, and I got out of the car, and I said, "How you doing?" And she had gas all over the ground, not in the car. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "This can, I can't make it the funnel. I can't get it the gas to go in through." And I said, "What's wrong?" And then I looked. As some of you know, those new gas cans have the funnel where it has a sleeve, and if you don't push it down in the sleeve, it won't. And it was loose enough to where it was just pouring out of the, it wasn't getting in the gas tank. She had half of it all over the ground. I said, "I tell you what, I've got a funnel. Rather than figure this, I got a funnel in the truck and went and got the funnel." And I said, "Yours is a Ford, mine's a Ford. This is guaranteed to work on a Ford." If anyway, stuck it in there, and I unscrewed it, poured all the gas in there, and I said, "Now, would you crank it up?" And she cranked it up, and I said, "Are you going to be okay?" She said, "Yeah." So I got back in the car. I smelled like gas for another 2 hours, but I was so pleased. As a matter of fact, the aroma of the gas was pretty cool because I had helped this girl. And I'm sitting there. She drove off, and as I drove off, and I pulled down the strip there, I said, "I'm going to pull off slow so I make sure she..." And she went on down, and I saw her going down to the road to turn to the gas station, which was the BP right down from Target. And so I was good. And I looked at the girl in there, and I said, "I just want to apologize because that prolonged your getting home." And I said, "But I really needed to help that lady." And she said, "Oh, no. Being a part of helping the lady was so amazing." And I looked at her and I said, "I call it blessed." There is a secret place of blessing where you walk in the presence of God and you are so blessed. You don't have to get a dime for it. You don't have to get anything other than knowing that you're a part of God's blessing to other people. Just walking in God's presence, listening to God. James later comes back and he says this: faith without works is dead. Had I not turned around, which is the tendency I had, just take the lady home, I would have been dead on the inside because I was going away from where God wanted me to be. And I knew when I went where he's going and where he wants, then I'm with him in his presence. And the anointing is on my family and on me and on my children. And that's what I desire as I walk with God. Let us pray. Father, we seek your presence, your power, your strength, your anointing. For we seek it in the way that you've led us.